And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Salutations and happy holidays, Buccaneers fans. We hope you're enjoying the season. And on behalf of RBLR, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Welcome in to RBLR Bucks, your ultimate podcast for everything Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm your co-host, Musab, and let me tell you, there is plenty to talk about today. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, our Bucks did lose to Dallas this past weekend, but don't fret. There's still hope in the NFC South. The good news is we're still in the fight for the division title. And up next, we're facing the Panthers, who, let's be honest, aren't exactly fighting for the NFC South crown. And of course, we want to hear from you. So drop your comments in the live stream and let us know what's on your mind. You know, questions, hot takes, we've got you covered. Or as I'd like to say, got questions or takes, bring the fire. Don't hold back. We're live and ready. So let's light up the chat. But as we get ready to face off against the Panthers, let's break things down with some serious hype. First, a man who's always ready to bring the heat, whether it's breaking down stats or dropping knowledge on the game. Give it up for Mr. Zach Blaine. Zach, what's the good word? And I know it's been a couple of days since the game, so I'm hoping the Christmas spirit was able to kind of cheer you up a little bit after that rather depressing loss, but maybe not. So talk to
me. Yeah, I mean, we can say that.
Yeah.
Dallas came in hot. They three of their last four games after us, so it's been a it was an interesting game to watch for sure, man.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, just looking back, I remember Carter and I were talking about it, and this was not something we were expecting at all. Hell, I don't think anyone was expecting it. Before I keep going on and on, I got to introduce the man on my left, the man who knows the game better than anyone else, always ready to dive deep into the analysis with a level of excitement you won't find anywhere else. Mr. Carter Brantley, the mic is yours, my friend. How goes it?
It goes. I'm definitely feeling the holiday spirit. It's been a great week. Spent some time with some family, you know, with the loved ones. That's always important. The Bucks lost. It was pretty stupid. It was a pretty awful game. Just all the way around, really not much positive you can kind of take from it. 26-24 was the final, in case you're living under a rock. It was a bad game. Everyone involved pretty much just didn't show up. There wasn't really a lot to take away from it. Kind of wash your hands of it. Just a really depressing effort by all involved. The offense was bad. The defense was bad. It was just all the way around really, really atrocious. So, we'll get into it. We'll see if there's anything that's maybe a trend, or maybe it's just kind of a, hey, let's move on. It's just a bad loss. They had one in the tank. I think we all expected the Chargers to beat the crap out of them, or at least beat them. So they kind of had a weird loss in the bank. So if they win these final two games, theoretically things should be all right, because Falcons got to lose to those Commanders. And we'll get into that scenario as well, because it's important to note. But we'll start off with the loss, because you got to start somewhere. And unfortunately, we got to start with the negatives. Rashad White fumbles in his last couple of weeks. He hasn't really had struggles with fumbles throughout his career. This is just kind of a recent thing. But does this kind of concern you? Maybe they should reduce his playing time. I know that a big thing with him is that he's good in pass protection, and he's a better route runner, better receiver than maybe Bucky is. Also, you just want to get Bucky off the field sometimes. So I guess my question is, do you think that Rashad White should get less playing time because of these fumbles, or, you know, are you going to judge more of his larger body of work instead of focusing on two games? Zach, I'll start with you, man. What are your thoughts on Rashad White's playing time after these fumbles?
I mean, we've already taken his playing time away for, when it comes to rushing the ball. Like, he ran the ball three times this week. So I don't know if necessarily we take playing time away. I'll tell you, from watching what I've seen, I'm not giving him the ball in clutch moments, at least not recently, because this is two fumbles in 2 weeks. I believe both lost as well. So I don't know if I'd say concerning, but, you know, I'm trying to think of the saying, but, you know, one snowflake turns into a snowball and that turns into an avalanche, you know? So, like, it worries me that that's kind of where it could be going. Like, maybe his confidence is shaken and we don't need that right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly an interesting thought because, like you said, it's it was a pretty much the worst moment possible to
exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you know, it's it happened to Bucky earlier in the year. He had a big fumble in the Falcons' loss. You know, the Bucs would have won that game if Bucky Irving holds on to that ball. So it's happened.
I guess my issue with that is if Rashad White were a rookie, I'd give him a little more leniency, but. This is what, his third year in the league now?
Sure. Yeah, I think so.
I think it's his third year in the league. Yeah. Like, yep. At this point, you should know, like, important. I don't know how to explain it. It's just how my brain works. Like, at this point, you've not had issues with it before. Why is it a thing now?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It's not quite a trend yet, but it's something to monitor for sure.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that you know, it's not too good. He's putting the ball in harm's way. Mr. Streak, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on Rashad White's playing time and his fumble struggles over the past couple of weeks?
I mean, playing time-wise, I'm fine with it. I mean, I feel like, yeah, Bucky's kind of taken over the, you know, the run game show. And, you know, as much as I had never really thought about this before, but I do feel a little bit more confident with Rashad White in that kind of 2-minute drill situation, especially as you mentioned already with the pass protection. Now, looking at this play, guys, this was just ugly, just all around. I mean, Baker barely got off the ball to Rashad White. It was kind of just like a shit hits the fan situation. Even when Rashad got the ball, I feel like there was a couple of seconds where he was, you know, I'm trying to forget from the top of my head exactly, but he was kind of like trying to, you know, kind of shrug someone off or something. So he was like palming the ball like a basketball player for a couple of seconds. So it just makes me think, you know, at that point, after he did that, you know, he did bring it in a little bit, but I guess it was kind of just right place, right time, you know, for the Cowboys, you know, defenders to kind of just knock it out. I mean, obviously, you know, I don't want to just completely just only give credit to the Cowboys, you know, Rashad White can definitely do better, but I mean, at the end of the day, you can't just point, you know, you already said it already, Carter, in the beginning of this, you know, episode, you know, this was an all around horrible performance by everyone. So, I mean, you know, we can point fingers at Rashad White, but I mean, there was two drops from Sterling Shepard, you know, in my opinion, that could have been a little bit of a game changer too. So. Mm-hmm. You know, we would have never been here. So, yeah,
the Sterling Shepard drops. My goodness, that first one especially. You want to talk about unclutch, fourth down? Just really, just I mean, it couldn't have been a better throw. Like it was just right in his chest. Like it was pretty elementary, and he turned it into a college level essay that he failed to submit on time. So, yeah, it was an ugly effort for sure, all the way around. Receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, offensive line. It's, you know, all of them just really doing a poor job out there. So speaking of taking care of the ball, I did want to mention because Baker, another week, another interception. He leads all starting quarterbacks in picks. Only Kirk Cousins has more, and we all know what happened to Kirk Cousins. So he also leads all quarterbacks in turnover-worthy plays. How much longer until this becomes maybe a concern, or is this maybe just a product of how aggressive he is? I want to hear y'all's thoughts on his turnover struggles. Mr. Tariq, I'll start with you, man. What are your thoughts on Baker's struggles to hold on to the ball and not put it in harm's way?
I got to say, yeah, I'm going to go with the second statement. I think he's just playing, you know, a little bit aggressive. I don't think that it's too much of a concern. And while it can be a concern, I mean, there's no other kind of solution as of right now. You know what I'm saying? So. there's got to be ways to work around it. And, you know, we've seen so many times this past season when, you know, Baker's looking relaxed. And I think that's what the situation was from the get go. You know, at one point the Cowboys were up 20-7. So I feel like it kind of, you know, really kind of throws you, you know, all over the place in your mind, you know, for Baker Mayfield slash the whole offense. So I have to say, you know, it is a little bit of a concern, but I mean, that's kind of who Baker is. Not that I'm saying it's okay because he's Baker, but there's this, you know, I feel like this was also kind of also,
you know, a little bit of, you know, the kind of play calling, Liam Cohen, Todd Bowles's, you know, responsibility as well, the kind of, you know, trying to find ways to kind of slow it down a little bit, allow Baker to maybe kind of recalibrate. But, I mean, just because it was awful everywhere, you know, on both sides of the ball, I mean, it was just honestly just chaotic. So, yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to sort of separate everything, right? Like, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
It can be hard to put context to these types of things sometimes because obviously he's dependent on the play caller and the offensive line and the receivers and so on and so forth. And defensive players can sometimes just do ridiculous things and make an amazing play out there. So, yeah, it's hard. You know, he's got to read coverages and stuff like that. So, I'm with you. Give him the benefit of the doubt. And also, you know, like you said, there's no other solution. Trask is not gonna do any better. That's not what I'm saying at all. But
yeah, it is. And also, I'm not gonna lie, we allowed four sacks, and
yeah, absolutely.
I have to give credit to the Cowboys. You know, even if you just watch the highlights, man, they got some hard hitters out there. So you know, four sacks, O line's not looking like our usual O line. You know, it does kind of shake you up a little bit if you're Baker.
For sure, yes. And it was kind of an abnormal thing because they're third in pass blocking grade for PFF as a team. So usually, like you said, they're solid. But yeah, Sunday was not their best effort, to say the least. But yeah, it's just a weird thing. He just throws a lot of interceptions and commits a lot of turnover-worthy plays. But he's also got like one of the lowest average depth of targets. Like it's a strange dichotomy. But also at the same time, like that's still part of the offense. You know, it's still him being aggressive. It's kind of a weird thing to pick apart. But Mr. Blaine, I'll give you your chance to step in and tell us that Baker doesn't even lead the NFL in picks. We're all just reading a mirage.
Well, I mean, he doesn't lead the NFL in picks. Kirk Cousins does. So we got to do that sure. Right.
A bench quarterback. My bad.
I'm with Geno Smith for a second. He's third in the league in touchdowns. He's top 10 in the league in yards per – or in yard. Well, top three in yards per game. Top 10 in total yards. I feel like if we're going to just pick out the negative, yeah, it's going to look really bad. And I think turnover worthy plays is the dumbest stat in the world because they're not turnovers. So I don't know how we could count something that should have been, because do we count touchdown worthy plays that weren't touchdowns that were called back by the offensive line or the defensive line?
For sure. Yeah. So, there's adjusted numbers that factor in that. And if we're being completely honest, Baker ranked pretty low in those adjusted numbers too, like when they factor in, you know, quality of competition and all that stuff. But like you said,
to make a stat out of something that is speculated, like what should have been, how do we know what should have been? That's my issue with that stat. I will stand by that forever. I understand there's logic behind it and it's probably a good stat. I just hate it. But yeah, he leads the league in a lot of, or doesn't lead the league, but he's top five to top 10 in the league in a lot of stuff. That's positive. So I struggle to look at, as much as I hate that he's second in interceptions, it's not a fun sight, but I'm sure we could take away three or four of those interceptions if we're going to do the turnover worthy plays that shouldn't have been turnovers that were just good defensive plays or bad defense.
Sure. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. The turnover-worthy play thing, it's kind of a tough thing because, you know, I'm not sitting there and watching the game film back and forth. You know, we've all got day jobs and stuff like that. So, you know, I can't really speak to say that it's completely accurate, but I also know that, you know, they do a decent enough job at PFF. I know how difficult it is to comb through all the tape, and that's their job. You know, that's what they do. But I feel it's kind of a weird, sticky, more of a squishy stat, not necessarily something that.
Yeah, I guess like my issue with it is just the fact that it's someone sitting there going, that should have been picked, but it wasn't. Like I struggle to see why we should take that necessarily into account when we're not looking into, well, that was a drop pass. It could have been a 90-yard touchdown if he caught it. You know what I mean? Like. Sure.
There's also drop percentage, like players have drop percentage metrics for teams.
Well,
The Bucs are pretty good in that. You know, I think they're in the, you know, bottom third of the league in terms of drop percentage in the good way. Like they're, I guess you could say they're top 10 then in drop.
Yeah, percentage. No, I see what you're saying. So we have one of the lower drop percentages.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, that's not everything. And it doesn't
take into account. My issue with that is we count that as a drop, but do we go, well, if he would have caught it, he – there was a lane he could have gone 80 yards.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't count that, so why should we count the negatives? It's semantics to me.
I get you. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing to try to evaluate this type of thing because, you know, there's no right answer. Obviously, NFL teams screwed up all the time, much less, you know, three dummies on a podcast, you know. So, if they can't get it right, then we sure as hell aren't going to get it right, you know. It's a tough thing. It's a difficult thing to kind of ascertain what really is happening, what isn't happening, you know, where to place the blame and the credit and all that stuff. So it can be really difficult to evaluate this kind of thing. But obviously the defense wasn't great. The defense gave up a bunch of points to Cooper Rush, given one of them was an interception set up by Baker Mayfield. But there were also a bunch of kicks from that freaking Aubrey, whatever the heck his name is, that Cowboys kicker. Brandon Aubrey, thank you. He was making those 50-plus yarders just look like they were extra points. It was insane. It felt like I was watching the same kick over and over and over again. They were all just kind of right down the middle. But that's neither here nor there. Overall, you know, incorporating the defense as well as the offense struggling a little bit against a pretty awful defense. Is your confidence shaken at all in the ability to win the division? Like, do you think that maybe they lose another stupid game or maybe they lose out? I don't know, but what's your confidence level that this team can still win the division? Mr. Treek, I'll start with you, man. Where's your head at in this regard?
I'm still pretty confident overall. But I have to say, I mean, the defense was, it was mortifying, honestly. We had our two rookie, our two like second year, defensive linemen each get only a half a sack against a depleted, Cowboys offensive line. And it just, really raises my eyebrows. I could have sworn, I feel like we talked about how we were going to take advantage of that, against the Cowboys. But yeah, I mean, the pass rush wasn't there. And then with no pass rush, you give Cooper Rush some opportunity to look for who? Mr. CeeDee Lamb, who was cooking, some of our guys. Hell, yeah. Cooking. I mean, he grilled the shit out of some of them. Yeah.
It was tough to watch for sure. The pass rush, like you said, just non-existent, mm-hmm. Against non-existent. Two offensive tackles that are some of the worst in football. I mean, a backup left tackle and Terrence Steele at right tackle, who had a great year last year, but he has fallen off a cliff this year. Their interior is not really that much better. So Vea and Kancey were non-factors. Diaby was a non-factor. I mean, like you said, just really atrocious play from the defensive line. And then the linebackers, my goodness. I mean, we could run routes out there over the middle and get pickup yardage. I mean, my goodness. I know, Lavonte Davis had a great career and he's been having an up and down season in a lot of ways, but, Sunday was not anyone's best effort on defense, especially the front seven, especially, which it's a shame because the Bucs have been known for their front seven for a while. It's just tough. They didn't have any healthy safeties either, so that was a tough struggle. Just a lot of negatives for this defense, and it's been that way most of the year, and it's not going to get any better. They don't really have any reinforcements coming. I mean, Winfield and Whitehead, I guess, but yeah, it's been brutal, and it was a brutal effort Sunday. But Mr. Blaine, you hate the defense, so go for it. Pile on with us.
I don't hate the defense. I hate how they're playing.
Of course, no, I get it.
We're just not a good defense, man. I said at the beginning of the year we were going to have issues, and it's just kind of coming to fruition. I wanted to be wrong, and this defense has fallen apart kind of in front of our eyes. Our fear, all of our fear, was that our defensive backs were going to get hurt, and that has come to fruition, and we have no depth there, and it continues to show. And now our linebackers are all hurt. We have no depth there. Our backup linebackers are honestly dog water, to say the least. Like, they're not good in coverage and run defense and anything. And then to look at our defensive line, especially, Vea and Kancey, for us to have a game against the Cowboys and not have a significant amount of pressures, That was heartbreaking a little bit, man, because that's where we've been successful. Like, Vea and Kancey have been relatively good this year, and for them to just not show up, man, it's – I'd be lying to you if I said I'm not a little bit concerned about our playoff chances.
Yeah, no, I feel you, because you're also – with this loss, they've also put the Commanders in charge of their fate. You know, the Commanders have to beat the Falcons, or the Falcons have to lose their final game, and that's just not the way you want to do things.
Exactly. Yeah, like we've taken it out of our own hands.
For sure.
To have to rely on anybody else to make the playoffs, it's not usually a recipe for success.
No, not at all. Absolutely with you. Yeah, it was a gross effort out there by everyone involved, and it's not looking like it's going to get much better. So we'll see how it plays out. Yeah, it's tough, but at least Bucky's having a great year. that's kind of the lone bright spot, honestly, from this past Sunday. But if you're looking for a bright spot for your wardrobe, I know that the holidays have come and gone, or at least not the New Year's Eve and all that. But you know, if you're still looking for some presents, maybe it's just New Year, New You. You know, New Year, New Wardrobe. Definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some amazing gear for you. Anything Tampa Bay sports related, we've got you covered. And we'll give you a promo code because it was such an atrocious weekend for Bucks football. Cannons, CANNONS, 10% off your entire order after you type that in. So definitely head over there and check it out. We'd really appreciate it. But luckily, you know, there's still some more football to be played, or good news or bad news, depending on your perspective on the Bucks prospects in them. But the Bucks, they take on the Panthers this weekend. And, you know, the Panthers have been kind of hot recently. You know, ever since that overtime victory that the Bucks had against them, they've been kind of playing well. You know, they beat the Giants the week before, they lose to the Bucks by a narrow margin, they lose to Kansas City by a narrow margin. I think they played the Eagles pretty tough as well, and then they ended the Cardinals playoff chances this past weekend. It was an impressive victory and a really good game from Bryce Young. He's been trending up, which is really impressive to say after how he started this year. So how can the Bucks kind of rebound against the Panthers? Like, do they frighten you with how well they've been playing recently, or do you think that the Bucks can kind of settle in? You know, they're at home. That's a good thing. So what are your thoughts on some kind of opening impressions on the Panthers this weekend? Mr. Blaine, I'll start with you, man.
I've been saying it for a few weeks now. This is the game that scares me the most, man. Carolina has been very loose terms hot recently. Like they've
I don't think it's loose up. I think it's pretty solid.
I mean I struggle to say hot if
you're, I feel you
if you're still losing games, but they've looked relatively dangerous the last few years. And to see them play the Cardinals the way they did, and I'm worried, I'm confident, but also worried, if that makes sense. I know it's a weird correlation, but I'm confident because I'm a fan, but also I'm trying to tell myself, like, dude, that they're a somewhat scary 4-11 team.
Yeah, a somewhat scary 4-11 team. Yeah. That's pretty much the best way you can put it.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I mean, like you said, they started out so rough, and yet recently they've been playing some really tough games. They've been playing their hearts out. Dave Canales, obviously, you know, he has his, I don't want to say flaws, but, you know, some people kind of have mixed feelings about him as an offensive play caller, but he really seems to be kind of a rally guy. You know, he seems to lift everyone's spirits, have a real positive energy about him. And there's something to be said about that, especially with a young team like Carolina. But Mr. Treek, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on Carolina and how they can stack up against the Bucks?
Yeah, I have to give credit to the Carolina Panthers. I mean, they've been looking pretty darn good these days. I mean, they've definitely been warming up since, you know, even the last time we played them, or even from the beginning of the season. And I got to say, I am kind of on the same boat as Zach. I'm also a little bit kind of scared because Carolina, you know, is showing signs of life. And I think that's a huge deal for, you know, that organization. You know, that's like winning the NFC South, honestly. And the fact that they're showing some signs of life, and look, I mean, yeah, they ruined the Cardinals' playoff chances. They could be ruining our chances as well this week. And so they still got something to play for, and now they're seeing some potential. I mean, Canales, as you mentioned already, is doing a good job. Bryce Young is, you know, finally showing some, you know, signs of, you know, some big improvement. So I wouldn't discount them out yet. I mean, the way we played against the Cowboys, if we do that again, I think the Panthers have a good shot of beating us.
Yeah, I mean, if they play like they did against the Cowboys, they will lose to the Panthers. I think that's pretty confident, because I mean, not that the Panthers are that much better than the Cowboys, or that they even are any better than the Cowboys, but they're certainly not that much worse. They're certainly not that much worse, especially with the way they're playing right now. But looking at their overall production, just kind of a little breakdown of them as a team, Bryce Young, obviously, he struggled early on in the year. And I mean, his numbers and his metrics and all that stuff were so low that like you'd see these graphs and it'd be like, yeah, we had to remove Bryce Young because he just dragged down the graph.
He was so far down on the draft, on the graph.
Yeah, it's just depressing. But luckily, he's bounced back to being 28th in EPA per play. I know that sounds bad, but for him, that's a huge improvement from where he was. He was just dead last in pretty much everything. But he is second to last in EPA per pass versus zone coverage, which obviously we've talked about it every episode pretty much. The Bucks love to run zone, for better or for worse. And he's only ahead of Jameis, which, you know, if you're only ahead of Jameis, that's not exactly great. But the Panthers do run the ball pretty exceptionally well. Chuba Hubbard and that offensive line, they do a great job. They also have that rookie running back out of Texas, Jonathan Brooks, who's done a really nice job in a limited role because Hubbard's been so good. They haven't really needed a backup really very much. So they're 10th in EPA per rush as a team. But defensively, still bad. They're still, you know, they gave up 30 to the Cardinals this past weekend. As much as, you know, we were talking about how well they played and they pulled out the win, they still looked awful defensively because they're 30th in EPA per pass and 31st in EPA per rush, last in pass rush grade on PFF. Their receivers are last in receiving grade and they're last in run defense grade. So that's a whole lot of lasts. You know, they're just not, they can't get after the quarterback. Their receivers aren't getting open and they can't really defend the run. So look for Bucky to maybe have a great game. So with all that being said, there's obviously a lot of good because they've been playing well recently in terms of short context. But if you still look at their season production as a whole, it's still pretty bad. And it's still a lot of favorable matchups for the Bucks, which transition to our next segment. Are there any favorable matchups for the Bucks that y'all are looking at that you're thinking, hey, this could make kind of a big difference in this game? Mr. Treek, I'll start with you, man. What are some favorable matchups for the Bucks against these Panthers?
Oof, I'd probably say, I mean, the big one is Mike Evans and Baker got to be cooking it up big time, especially, you know, with the news that Kate Otten is out. And I mean, yeah, no Godwin either. So, I mean, surely, yeah, you can count on the other guys, I guess. But, you know, I'm expecting Mike Evans to, you know, try to, you know, kind of, you know, start slashing these DBs left and right or whatever, whoever has got him covered. That's probably my biggest favorable matchup. And on top of that, I mean, I have to say, regardless of, you know, how amazing they do, our pass rush has to show some signs of life compared to last week for sure. I mean, we really got to, you know, do whatever we can, and we cannot let Bryce Young get comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just been, it's been tough. You know, you saw it last week. It really doesn't matter. Your corners can play good coverage, bad coverage. If the quarterback's able to sit there for a while, like, it doesn't matter what the coverage quality is, because even good coverage is going to, you're going to let someone get open. I think Baker said in a press conference a few weeks ago, he was like, yeah, there's always an open man in every pass play. You just got to find him, which if you're out there for, you know, 3, 4, 5 seconds at a time, then yeah, you're going to find the open man. These are NFL quarterbacks. Bryce Young is on the up and up. He's feeling confident. So yeah, I love the shout out to the pass rush because, man, if they have another week like they did against the Cowboys, we could be talking about another loss.
I've always counted on our pass rush more than our DB room, especially, I mean, week by week, our DB room gets more and more uglier. Winfield's already out, and I believe Christian Izzian will also be out. So yeah, he's done for the year. So, I mean, it just, this is something I remember we talked about many weeks ago, Carter, which is like, you know, if the pass rush is not there, at least, you know, the DBs can step up, and if the DBs aren't there, hopefully the pass rush can step up. Well, neither of them stepped up this last week, and I'm hoping that the pass rushers step it up this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, fingers crossed. I don't know how confident I am in that, but we'll see. But Mr. Blaine, how about you, man? What's a favorable matchup for the Bucks against these Panthers?
A favorable matchup, I got to go Bucky Irving in the run game. I believe he had over – that was the game he had 150-something yards.
Yeah, he was last great.
Last time we played. So I got to say that's a favorable matchup. A matchup that I need to see is – or I want to see is Vea against the run game, because last time we played the Panthers, Hubbard only ran the ball 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to last week, he ran the ball 25 times.
Right.
So I think he is a guy who is going to wear down the defense the more that he runs the ball. he's a physical runner. He runs up the middle almost every time. We're not gonna. I'm not worried about him breaking one to the outside. So I would like to see how Vea does against those under center snaps, straight handoff up the middle. That's what I'm curious to see. But I think a favorable matchup is Bucky against the run defense.
Absolutely. I mean, we remember it from last season. I don't know if we remember it fondly, but the Canales just sort of dive up the middle, to Rashad White almost every first down, it seemed like. I know that's hyperbole and exaggeration, but they definitely have taken advantage of the fact that Canales loves to pound it sort of up the middle. Mm-hmm. Cohen has come in and sort of changed the running game, and much to the success of the Bucks. But the Panthers are having success with it because they have a pretty decent interior offensive line. And Chuba Hubbard's a very good runner, especially between the tackles. So they just have different personnel, so they're able to do it pretty well. That's definitely an interesting thing, because as much as they've been successful like last week against the Cardinals, he was great. But the Cardinals don't have Vita Vea, right? Exactly. So theoretically, maybe the Bucks are figuring something out against the Panthers. Maybe it's just random, maybe it was just an off game for the Panthers, both with their offensive line and with Chuba Hubbard. So we'll see. But one last favorable matchup I wanted to mention that may sound stupid and y'all might roll your eyes, but I am hopeful that the corners, if not the safeties, can maybe try to step up, make an impact play, picking off the ball. Zion had some interceptions at the beginning of the year. If they can't, if the pass rush can't get there, then it doesn't really matter. But who knows? Crazier things have happened. It's Bryce Young. He could, venture back into some bad habits.
That'd be nice. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't necessarily have to. The good news is they don't have anyone that can really get true separation like Adam Thielen. And, I like Xavier Leggett. I think he's got to get
Coker. Coker. I think it's Jalen Coker. Rookie.
He's kind of fun.
I'm telling you, if you watch him, he's a good receiver. He was out. I don't think he played the last time we played. I think he was out. He's coming on pretty hot lately. It's kind of impressive. He's my kind of underdog but my Musab's hidden gem here.
There you go. Yeah, hidden gem.
I think he's gonna play a big role this game, win or lose. He's gonna play a big role.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's, he's out of Holy Cross, so who knows?
That's what I'm saying. He's the last two games I've watched of Carolina, he's been a big target for him.
Yeah, very under the radar guy. Hopefully he can kind of, figure some things out.
He stays under the radar for us this week. Yeah. Another big game. But
against the rest of the NFL, it'd be
cool. Yeah, do your thing. Go off on everyone else.
For sure, absolutely. But, so maybe that's something to watch. Maybe the Panthers can – or maybe the Bucks corners can step up and maybe try to, lift the rest of the team, but we'll see. I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith, but I'm trying to say something positive about the defense, because we've been so negative throughout the episode. It's just got to cling to something, right? Yeah. Anyways, before we end our episode, we've got a couple of segments and we got over under first. Mr. Blaine, I know you had to dip out before you could do your over under last week. So it's your opportunity. it's your opportunity to do it this week, so go for it, big dog.
What's all right, Mike Evans, we are currently at 91 yards a game to get over 1,000 yards. So Mike Evans over or under 91 yards?
I'm gonna go under. I think he does not hit it.
I think he hits it. I don't think he's gonna hammer it, or I don't think anyone should hammer, Mike Evans over 91. But I feel like, as I mentioned already, with Otten out, and there's only so much the rest of the wide receiver core, there's only so much we can really count on them to really win this game. All eyes are on Mike Evans to really make sure we, save our chances of making the playoffs. So that's why I'm going on the over.
I'm also hitting the over. I think he had 118 yards last time they played. So I think that with Otten out, that's going to be – granted, they can cover Mike Evans. They can put more resources into covering Evans, but I also think that means that Evans gets targeted more. So I think over. I think he could have one of his biggest games of the year this week.
All right. I hope y'all are right and I'm wrong. I'm going under just because I don't know.
No, that's fair. Yeah, I understand. I think it's going to be – I don't think he's going to necessarily blow past 91 yards, but I think he's going to have a very good game. So I'm putting him around 100 to 115 yards.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'd love that. That would be that would probably mean the Bucs win. You know,
yeah,
that
probably exactly. means the Bucs. I don't know because we only won by 3 last time, and he had 118 yards. So
hey, you know, a win's a win. You know what I mean? No, but I feel.
And then this next one is just a fun one. Bucky Irvin needs 80 yards to get to 1,000 yards this season.
Ooh, hell.
I think he hits 1,000 yards this season.
Yeah.
Do you think he goes over 80 yards, over under 80 yards this game to get to 1,000 yards?
Ooh, I like this. I like going with the milestone stuff. That's a lot of fun. Yeah, I got over. I think he hits 1,000 this game. The Panthers have been so atrocious against the run. Bucky's great. The offensive line does a nice job. So, yeah, I'm pretty comfortably going over. I don't know if he hits like 120 or something ridiculous like he did last time. Or you said 150.
He had 150. I believe it was 152 last game.
Right. I don't know that he. Carolina. Yeah, I don't know that he goes that crazy, but I do think that he comfortably goes over 80 yards. I'll hit the over.
Oh, I'm definitely going over as well. I'm going to go semi-hammer on this bad boy. I mean, there's no reason not to count on Bucky. I mean, he's been balling out so far this season. The guys can't tackle him the first time. I mean, and this is a crappy, Panthers run defense that hopefully we can, take advantage of. So, yeah, give me the over for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is the Panthers don't plug holes very well, and they allow a lot of lanes, but they also don't really tackle very well either. So, so either way, Bucky's going to get his.
And that's why I'm with you guys. I'm going over. I think that Bucky has – I think he has another really big game. I don't know how likely it is that they both have big games as far as Irving and Evans, but I think if I had to pick one to have a bigger game, it's going to be Irving, and I wouldn't be shocked to see him hit the 120-ish mark.
My goodness, yeah, 120 would be really fun. And like I said, with Evans, sort of, it's if he has this kind of game, then yeah, he wins, or the Bucks win rather. So yeah, I'm pretty excited to see how these two things play out. We'll definitely have to monitor them, as will the rest of the Bucks fans, of course. But before we round out this episode and say goodbye, we got our predictions. You know, we're coming up the last two games of the regular season, so only a couple more of these to go. So I want to throw it out there. I got the Bucks winning 28-17. Am I very confident in that pick at this point? No, but to pick the Panthers in this situation just seems like it would be kind of silly because, you know, just on paper, these teams are a bit outmatched. The Bucs should be significantly better than the Panthers, but of course it's football any given Sunday, blah, blah, blah. So I got the Bucs winning 28-17. Mr. Treek, how about you, man? What's the final score? Who you got winning?
I got Buccaneers winning 24-20. I just think it's going to be another kind of ugly matchup, especially with the kind of injuries we have and just, overall, I mean, how we've been playing / how the Panthers have been doing kind of solid. I think overall we will, be dominating or kind of dominating for the most part. But I think the Panthers will find some ways to keep it close. Hopefully not, but that's why I'm going 24-20 Buccaneers win.
Yeah, it's understandable. I mean, they had the weird end of the season game last year. It was 9-0. You know, it was a very strange – yeah, very strange effort by all involved. So, the Bucks could very easily make this uncomfortably interesting.
It just takes a couple of big plays. Whether it means Mike Evans, Bucky Irving over, or whether it means the Panthers keep it close. And that's exactly what happened with the Cowboys. I mean, they got a couple real big plays with CeeDee Lamb, and honestly, those are kind of just momentum changers. So, I feel the same.
There's a reason why explosive play rate is such a big thing. It's because they have a huge impact on the game. And vice versa, success rate's huge because, if you have an unsuccessful play where you lose a bunch of yards, that's a big play too. And that can be a game changer. You know, you get sacked for a huge loss or you take a penalty, what have you. So yeah, I'm with you. It's the margins are always razor thin. So definitely interesting to monitor going forward. But Mr. Blaine, take us home. Who you got winning this game and by how much?
I've got Tampa winning 35-23.
Ooh, 35. Wow, okay.
Okay.
I'm skeptical. I think it's either going to be a blowout or we lose. Ooh, okay. I really do. I think in a close game, Carolina is hotter right now than Tampa is. So I think in a close game, I'm a firm believer in momentum. And as much as Carolina's not really fighting for anything, they've got more momentum than we have right now. So
yeah, I mean,
either a blowout or a close game. And if it's a blowout, I got us winning. So I'm siding on blowout. I'm siding on blowout. And I think that it's Tampa who's going to come out 35-23.
All right. Well, hopefully that's the case, because then we can all relax, kind of unclench, and not have to kind of watch with our white knuckle in it and all that. So yeah, hopefully that's the case, because that would be a lot of fun. Certainly not going to be fun to watch another close game where they just narrowly sneak out a victory, but hey, a win's a win, and it'll get them hopefully one step closer to the playoffs. Because if the Falcons lose to the Commanders, then the Bucs are back in control. And then next week, they obviously play the Saints. The Saints,
I'm not saying anything yet. I'm not saying anything yet.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I feel you. But it's looking good. We'll just say that. we appreciate you all for tuning in. From you, my co-host, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you like the show, even if you didn't like the results of this past weekend. Hopefully, we'll be tuning in back next week. With a better result, with better news. But even if not, we'll still be here. So give us a follow at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Bucks to keep up with us.
Have a happy new year.
Have a happy new year. Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Blaine. Give us a like and subscribe if you like what you heard. Bring in the new year by following your favorite podcast.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate y'all for tuning in. We'll see y'all next week. And as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.